Welcome to episode 95.
95?
95 of the Breakdown World Podcast. 95.
95.
The countdown
95 cans of Sierra Mist.
On the wall. Wait, what? The countdown is really on, though, isn't it? It's 95, man. Like, we're almost there. We almost did it. Remember when we were talking about episode 100 on, like, episode 89 or something like that? Like, there's still plenty of time left, but, you know.
We're so far away.
Yeah. We're almost there.
Almost.
And then the format changes, man. It's going to be very different. Very, very new and interesting and strange and weird. But crazy. Also awesome. Also awesome for some reasons that you guys know and some you don't know yet.
Yes.
Oh, man. So, this episode of the podcast, the Breakdown Wall podcast, we have Peyton Barber.
Peyton Barber.
Episode 95. No. We have a lot to talk about. And it's kind of like last week in that there's kind of follow-ups to actually in fact it's very much like last week, because really two of the stories we have today are actually follow-ups to previous stories from last week.
Yep.
So, you know, some stuff to talk about. Actually, three of them are kind of follow-up, but anyway, that's the way the gaming news happens sometimes. So we're gonna do it. We're gonna do the thing. In fact, we're gonna do the thing right about now with some gaming news. And welcome to gaming news. I don't know why I did that at the beginning. Gaming.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
Oh dear. I think they're doing the gaming news, Pooh.
Oh, Bob.
Same time, same thought. It always works. All right. So, Strela, how would you like to talk again about Activision Blizzard?
Oh boy. it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse.
It does. It does. And it's pretty bad now.
Yep.
There are multiple reasons that it is bad. It's bad because it was bad before. You know, it's bad for the same reasons it's bad before. Much like the complaints about Ubisoft, some people are saying, and this is true, that not enough is being done to fix the problem. That said...
Yeah, I would still argue that, but, you know.
Yeah, but that said, what has been done is actually a bad sign of things to come.
Yeah.
And I say that because J. Allen Brack, the president/CEO dude person thing of Blizzard, has stepped down. Now, it was Jason Schreier, our good buddy Jason Schreier, who pointed out that while his stepping down certainly was necessary given the situation that happened, it also speeds up, in fact, I believe he used the word highly accelerates, the takeover of Activision from Blizzard. So another number that Jason Schreier threw out is Activision started messing with Blizzard's affairs in approximately 2017. They kind of started lording over them because, you know, they bought the company, so they can do that, right? And now the removal of J. Allen Brack, again, necessary and good for that reason, but the removal of him is going to accelerate their takeover. So that could be a bad thing. But it's only a bad thing if they don't do what they should do and oust more people. And some of these people, this is not just like a Blizzard problem, you know? Some of these people that need to go are Activision people.
I would argue that Bobby Kotick needs to go.
Bobby Kotick absolutely needs to go. I don't care if he was like trying to be all humble about the oh man, the apology that we issued the first time was really tone deaf and we're very sorry and blah, blah, blah. I don't care.
Which, yeah, it was, but...
It was, but this still happened under his watch and he helped make it happen. I believe he was on that, he was in that panel that, you know, where everyone was making fun of that woman who just asked if they could desexualize. No, never mind, he wasn't, because that was Activision, never mind. That was 2010. Yeah. Never mind, he wasn't. But no, Brack was. Brack was.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but still, like, this still happened, you know, he was still heavily involved with the company doing Activision things, and yeah, he needs to go. We need to really think about like a lot of restructuring of a lot of game companies. And I will include Ubisoft in this. I think Eve probably needs to go from Ubisoft.
Yep.
Because this stuff is happening under their watches and they can't just pretend that now it matters, because it always did.
Yeah.
So there you go.
It did.
Also, the head of HR of Blizzard has also left the company.
Yeah.
So that's a thing. That doesn't look good for anybody.
Nope.
So, you know, it's a big old mess right now. And I imagine it may not be done getting messier, believe it or not.
Probably not.
It's probably not. It's you know, what can you do? A very vocal Activision employee also finally deleted her Twitter account. She was threatening employees that were coming forward, and that was super awesome of her. I'm being sarcastic. Super, super rude. You know, she was blocking people, like being super unprofessional about the whole situation.
Yeah.
And has now finally removed her Twitter account. Apparently by her own choice, but I wonder about that. Like,
I'm they sure, say
it's by her own choice. I don't know if it is or not.
I'm sure she was voluntold.
Voluntold, yep. Yep.
To, yeah.
I feel like she was voluntold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So I think that's the best we can do for updates on that situation right now. You know, more as it unfolds, I guess.
Yep.
Next up, some news that is sad. It is sad. However, it is another one of those situations where I don't think anyone is going to be surprised by this. I really don't. Because people were amazed when the release date of Horizon Forbidden West was announced as 2021. They were shocked and amazed. They're like, really?
Yeah, it didn't seem... That just seemed a little ambitious for the kind of game it was, and just,
yeah,
when the announcement hit, it was just like, wait, this really? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, when it was announced recently that, indeed, Horizon Forbidden West is not coming out in 2021, but is in fact coming out in 2022, possibly Q1 2022, I did not encounter much surprise at this announcement.
That's not surprising.
It's fine. Yeah. Because Horizon is already, just after one game alone, it's already a beloved franchise. And if Q1 2022 means you can make a better game, then make a better game. Yep. We do know that Herman Holst has been, you know, the new Sony Worldwide Studios president, has been playing Horizon Forbidden West as often as he can. He talks about playing it all the time.
Nice.
So probably one of the, I guess, the best beta testers you could ask for is, you know, president of Worldwide Studios. But the thing is, the reason he is playing it a lot, though, is because he came from Guerrilla. Like, he was Guerrilla, yeah, Games CEO and moved to Worldwide Studios, yeah, president. But he says it's great. But I mean, I guess he would say that, but at the same time, like, you know, it's cool.
I mean, it's Horizon, you know, it's going to be good.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. It's amazing.
It looked amazing from
Yeah. The trailer was awesome. The trailer was awesome. And it is a little amazing too, cuz like, for those who don't know, maybe there's people out there who don't know this, but Horizon Zero Dawn was Guerrilla Games' first RPG ever.
You wouldn't know it by how good it was.
Yeah, yeah. You wouldn't know it because they made, you know, they made Killzone games before this, basically. You know, they made shooters.
That's right. They were the Killzone people.
Yeah, they're Killzone, yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah.
They take one stab at an RPG and nail it.
Yep.
And now we got
Killzone. And Killzone was, like, you know, their franchise forever. Like, yeah, that was a long-running series.
Yeah, one of the premier PlayStation shooters was Killzone. Yeah, until I'd say Killzone 4.
It was like the successor in terms of popularity to, like, what Siphon Filter was for a while.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Because, like, that, like, in, like, the PS1, I don't remember if it got any PS2 games. I don't think it did. Maybe it got one. But, and yeah, the PS1 era was definitely Siphon Filter was kind of the shooter series. And then, like, PS2 era hits, and especially into PS3, it's Killzone, Killzone, Killzone.
Yeah, yeah, so definitely.
These guys definitely know what they're doing in terms of game development. So,
yeah, Killzone.
I mean, they didn't make Siphon Filter, obviously, but
no, I think that was Housemarque actually. No, wait, maybe not. No, sorry, it wasn't Housemarque. It was Sony Bend, the people that made Days Gone, made Siphon Filter.
Yeah.
Which actually isn't that another? That's another shocking development too. Sony Bend first RPG is Days Gone, which you know
it wasn't
super hype. Critically, but at the same time, a lot of people realize, a lot of gamers think it's a good game, but a lot of critics didn't like it. But you know, so I still hold that up as a,
it's a little a
positive mark.
I haven't seen like a full, but I've seen little bits, and it looked pretty good.
Yeah, and the voice acting is fantastic. Yeah, but there you go, Horizon Forbidden West 2022.
Yeah,
shocker.
Hey, it'll be good.
Yeah, just make a better game. Make it accessible, why don't you? Ha ha ha. I can dream, right?
Yeah.
I'm allowed to dream.
I can dream.
Let me have this, man. All right. So next up is one of our update stories. Well, the second of our update stories. We talked a little bit about the PlayStation 5. PlayStation 5. Beta for 2.0 and how they're allowing for expansion, a storage expansion now. Well, since then, we've gotten a list of other things that are in that beta. And OMG, it's some good stuff.
Indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, they're doing some cool things. One of the things that they're doing with system software 2.0 for PS5 is something that I didn't think would come along for several software versions. Like, the way they talked about it, the way Mark Cerny talked about it when he was selling us on the Tempest audio engine, made it sound like it was far, far away. But apparently not, because it's in there. Ladies and gentlemen, in PS5 system software 2.0, they have mastered 3D audio on TV speakers.
Yes.
It is in there. It is in there.
So we won't need... So theoretically...
Theoretically.
We can use 3D audio with our capture cards?
Theoretically? Hopefully. I don't know how capture cards are going to take it, though. Like, because the problem with that is if you set up your PS5 as if you have TV speakers and then you wear headphones... It might not sound.
Oh, that might
as
skew
good.
The. Yeah.
Yeah. It might not sound like 3D audio to you. It might actually just misposition stuff because it's broadcasting out of TV speakers. The idea here is this. This will allow you to sit in front of your TV because you do want to face it because that's the whole thing, and then it'll do things to the sound to project it from normal TV speakers as if it was all around you. I'm intrigued. I'm definitely intrigued. I want to try it. Apparently the setup for this thing for 3D audio through TV speakers uses the controller's microphone to determine your acoustics in the room you're in.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's some wizardry right there.
Yeah. To give you the best 3D audio profile.
Wow. All right.
So, yeah, there you go. additionally, it actually apparently will be changing slightly the setup of 3D audio for headphones. And this is something I like a lot. now the setup sound that you use on 3D audio with headphones to choose an audio profile, you can move it around now.
Good.
Thank goodness for that. Good. Because, like, that was one of my biggest problems with it. I still think they chose a bad sound to use for that.
It's too vague. It doesn't give you a good idea of what the sound is like.
Yeah, the sound is already one single sound of, like, water all around you, but that's actually not what you need to make a good decision.
You want to be able to pan the sound around to see what the field is like, and if you can, that's good.
So now you can move it around during setup.
Good.
So there you go. Also, they have said, and I have suspicions as to what this means, and I hope I'm right about this. They have said they have improved the audio quality of some games when using 3D audio for headphones.
Hmm.
So here's my suspicion as to what that means. Although it's never bugged me personally, it does apparently bug Chaosbringer, because Chaosbringer always points out when I'm playing a game, a PS5 or a PS4 game on my streams, obviously since it's a PS5, I have 3D audio enabled, and he always points out how it kind of sounds different, like it sounds different than it should, like it's kind of more of a TV quality to it.
That's kind of how I always felt using the Platinum headset with Diablo 3.
Oh, yeah?
You kind of got that, at least I did too, kind of got that, like, there's a noticeable difference in quality.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just never bothered me, but what I'm guessing is that this feature improvement means that maybe that'll be lessened. I'm thinking it's probably specifically for cases where you have 3D audio on, but the game you're playing doesn't support it. I'm thinking it might normalize that sound a little bit more.
Yeah, that could be.
That's what I'm thinking. I could be wrong, though. I mean, we could notice improvements in 3D audio overall. Who knows?
Yeah.
But that is another listed feature there. And another one to delve a little bit into the accessibility area here. We're getting some screen reader improvements. Yay!
Yay!
Including, ladies and gentlemen, at last, for the first time on a PlayStation console, the screen reader is getting a shortcut. Yeah.
I'm surprised this was not in at launch, to be honest.
Yeah, me too. Like, me too. I mean,
it's good that it's there, but like...
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I wasn't too miffed about how you activate the screen reader, because you literally just do nothing for 30 seconds. But at the same time, you know, it could have been a shortcut. It could have been.
Yeah.
Well,
and that's also good for people that, like, if they're going to a friend's house or something, and they have a PS5.
Yeah, just turn it off for while they're there.
And, like, if I'm at Ray's house or whatever and want to use her PS5 for whatever reason.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, you mean turn it on if you need it. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the shortcut, for those who want to know, is hold your PS button down and press triangle. That's your brand new screen reader shortcut.
Yay. Good stuff.
Now, here's an interesting one, though. There is another screen reader shortcut for moments when you want to have the screen reader repeat what it just said. The screen reader to repeat its buffer, you hold PS button and press L1, and it will repeat.
Ooh.
So there you go.
That's actually useful.
Yeah, yeah. It's a cool little addition. And the thing is, that's not even all. Like, there's other things too. Like, there's more choice regarding the organization of the control center. There's a lot of new game-based stuff. There's a lot of stuff related to challenges. Oh, like, games that support challenges will now create an automatic video clip for you if you are taking a challenge against one of your friends and you succeed. Like, if you got a better time than they did, automatic video clip.
Oh, nice.
So you have absolute proof that you did it.
Nice.
But not every game supports challenges, but for those that do, that's going to happen now.
Yeah.
They're also finally implementing, and you know what's funny, but this one's funny to me, because I didn't realize, I can't believe this, but I genuinely did not realize that this was not in the PS5 at launch. I just had never used it, because, I mean, I couldn't have used it, but I thought maybe I could have, but it wasn't even there. So anyway, to get to my point, they are implementing trophy tracking. Trophy tracking is being officially turned on as of this update. I thought it was already on. I thought it was already in the thing, but apparently it wasn't. And you can set 5 trophies of your choice in a game to track at a time.
Ooh.
And those trophies, what it'll do is it'll keep those trophies on the control center. and show you your progress toward those trophies as you track them.
Nice.
So there you go. And there's other things too, but that's kind of the big things besides the obviously the sword expansion, which we talked about last week.
Yeah, pretty significant update. That's good.
Yeah, very significant update. I'm very happy with it. I can't wait to try it out. Also, Mark Cerny did talk about his choice for which hard drive that he's going to get on his PS5. And hey, you know what? I got to say it. I know that you could view it as like, oh, this is just marketing. But if I'm going to trust anyone, I would trust the PS5 architect himself, Mark Cerny.
Right. He designed the thing.
Right. And so his choice is the Western Digital. I believe it's called the SN Black or something like that. Some name like that. Mm. And it is actually slightly cheaper than the numbers that I was rattling off before last week. The 2 terabyte version is not $500. It is actually $430. So, you know, it's still expensive, but it's a little cheaper than the previous numbers that I had. So that's
still
cool.
Still think, give it 2-3 years and the price for those is going to fall way down.
It is because basically what Sony did by making the PS5, literally by making the PS5, is Sony created a new standard for solid state hard drives.
Which, good.
Yeah, good. Very good.
I mean, we kind of figured that was going to happen at some point anyway. Like solid state, you know, it was like, it's been a thing for a long, long time now. But like, this was like the final push to make it like more mainstream, which
it's been ramping up for years.
Like my laptop has a solid state drive and
so does mine.
I will never use mechanical again.
Yeah, I mean why would you? Like
it's so ridiculously fast.
Yeah, there's literally no reason these days except you know, if you need a cheap laptop then I guess you might go with mechanical. But If what you're looking for is like a high powered laptop and you already know you're going to pay some money, then get solid state. Like there's really no reason not to these days. Yeah, so there you go. Sony paving the way for solid state drives, and now probably a whole slew of compatible drives are going to release, which is going to affect the whole solid state drive market, which is going to affect solid state drives and computers as well as consoles. Yeah,
it's good.
Literally creating a new standard. So
it's definitely a good thing.
Yep. Absolutely, positively. Okay, that's all for the update of the PS5. Now some news that specifically made Misty very sad. Misty is not the only one.
Oh man, she was so salty.
She's still mad about it.
Yeah,
she's still mad about it. But the reason it's making gaming news here isn't just because of Misty, it's because she's not the only one. So here's the thing. The game, Amazon's latest effort at video games, this one is called New World, it's an MMO. I believe it is their third or fourth attempt, and I can't remember which one, third or fourth attempt at making a game, the others got canceled. But their latest effort had a public beta recently, and the public beta went super well overall.
They hit a home run into orbit.
I was actually shocked at how well it was. Like, because all I could think about was, but all their previous games were canceled. And, like, I was like, Misty, are you sure this game is good?
Like, didn't they make a shooter that, like, failed so badly that, like, they took it out of public and back into beta and it just died
soon
after?
What I remember is... You might be right, but unless they did maybe they did a beta for one and then they canceled it, because like I know that none of their previous games made it to final release. So
yeah,
maybe there was a beta for one, but I might have missed that. I don't know.
I specifically remember a shooter that did really badly.
Oh, you're talking about Crucible. Crucible. Yes,
that was it.
Yes, it was a battle royale.
Yes,
game.
Yes.
Yes, Crucible. There was a beta for that, and then it got axed immediately after that.
Yep. That's what I'm thinking of. Yep.
Yeah, Crucible. Mm-hmm. Yep. So here we are with this game that is apparently not just good, but like really good. People are loving this game. Loving it.
Still not getting controller support, though, unfortunately.
Still not getting... Well, that's another story entirely, but... Yeah, it's not very popular.
Just saw that like 10 minutes before the podcast, and then
Come on. Yeah, it's not very popular with the accessibility community right now because they have no plans for controller support. But that aside, this new story. While the majority of players absolutely loved the game, and everyone that I know that played it loved it, every single person.
Misty is the only person I know that played it, but she was hooked.
Yeah, I mean, I know of...
You couldn't stop playing it.
I know of, like, some of Misty's streamer buddies were also hooked, like, immediately. And couldn't stop playing it either. Like, the same deal. Like, and think about this. Misty's original idea was, I'm going to try it for a little while, and then I'm just going to wait, because they're going to reset the servers after the beta's over. Yeah. So.
Yep.
She ended up playing that game for 80 hours during the course of the beta.
80 hours!
Oh, 80 hours. God. She made 5 characters across several servers so she could play with all of her friends.
Aww. That's really cool.
Yeah, so it's a good game. It's a good game. I believe, like, I was serious, like, Misty, are you sure this game is good? It's like I knew their track record, but no, this is a good game. They did it. People are loving this game. Now,
like, it's legit.
Yeah. Now, because of apparently a extremely vocal group of large enough streamers that they're listened to, who didn't like the game and said, Amazon, you shouldn't release this because it's a buggy mess and it's broken and it's terrible. Because of this group of extremely vocal, big-time streamer people, Amazon has delayed it another month.
Yep.
And they literally say in the post where they delayed it, they said, we're delaying it to address feedback. People, I want to stress this again.
Like,
people loved this game.
I mean, why? Like MMOs get, like, hot fixes and patches all the time. Why do you need to delay it from release? That doesn't make any sense.
Literally no MMO is perfect at launch. None of them.
Fuck, look at Diablo 3 was like,
oh yeah,
Diablo a colossal just disaster at launch, and it's been fine for a long time now.
Yeah, they fixed it ever since Reaper of Souls.
I'm guessing Diablo 3 or Diablo 2 is probably going to have some issues at launch, you know.
Even though it's a resurrected edition, yeah. I mean, it's they still redid all the code and everything.
Online games, every single online game has issues of some kind at launch.
Yeah, look,
and there you just wait for stuff to get fixed. It's fine. Like,
look,
this doesn't make any sense.
I even know one of New World's issues, but it's not big enough to delay the game. I'll tell you right now, Sterlock, one of New World's issues right now, and Misty, I know this because Misty told me this, is enemies need power rebalancing in the enemy's favor, because Misty several times encountered enemies that were like 8 levels ahead of her, and she had no trouble taking them down.
But that's also the kind of thing you can, like, change, you know, server side.
Yeah, on the fly.
On the fly, and it'll be, you know, like, you don't need to delay that. That's not the kind of thing you need to delay a game for.
Yeah, it's really not. And I
don't know, it seems really dumb.
The concern here that I have is that because they're listening to this loud group of people that hates this experience, I hope that what doesn't happen is, I hope that when this is all said and done and we actually do get the game and it actually does come out, that it's not actually a worse experience than the beta because of these people.
That is a little worrying.
So I hope they know what they're doing, but for now it's been delayed another month. This is actually its fourth delay. I didn't know that until now, but
wow, I didn't know that.
It was delayed 3 times before this, apparently.
Oh my god.
So, but now it's coming out in October, I believe.
I thought it was late September.
Was it? Well, is it? Maybe it is. Remember. Maybe it is. I thought it was supposed to be September before, so I thought it was October now. I don't know.
I don't remember. They did give the final, like, release date.
Yeah, I guess I missed it. So yeah, New World delayed, it said, and it shouldn't be, and the game is fine. Okay. Next up, I actually want to talk to Sturlock about this one, because Sturlock, I'm wondering if you already have an opinion on this, because it doesn't seem like something that you would miss, but I almost missed it. I didn't know what this was until like 3 days ago. So, Sturlock, what do you know about the play date?
Yeah, so the play date is weird and interesting and cool. And
all right.
I don't know what to make of it. It's unique, is certainly. I've known about this thing for a while, for like over a year, I would say.
Really? Oh, okay.
But it was just kind of off my radar because I just figured none of the games are really going to be accessible on it.
What kind of games are we talking here? Like, what does this thing play exactly?
It's all original stuff from what I gather.
It's not an emulator console. Okay.
It is not an emulator.
That's what I was wondering. Okay. Okay.
No, what this thing is it's all original games. It's interesting thing is it has, what are the button layouts? I think you have like an A and a B button, start, select. I don't remember if you have shoulder buttons or not. But the really interesting thing that this thing has is a crank.
A crank?
It has a metal crank that folds on that? The back of it, and it folds. You can fold it, in and out of the thing.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So some of the games are going to utilize. Should probably say a lot of the games are probably going to utilize.
Yeah.
This crank.
Sure, I guess.
Yeah. The other thing that's interesting about this is the games are going to come out in little waves.
Yeah, I heard them being called seasons of playdate games.
Yeah. Where like each week you're going to get access to like 2-3 games, I think it is, like for a determined period of time. Like a
It's limited. It's all limited? Oh.
Well, no, I mean it's not limited, but like it's it's getting doled out over time.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah.
So like you'll start with a few games and then next week you get a couple more games.
Now, I guess the question is, like, how much can you hold on this thing? Like, how many games can this thing actually support?
I don't know. I'm not super familiar. Like, I haven't done a ton of, like, I probably saw and just forgot because I personally don't see myself getting one of these.
Right. Unless we actually hear, like, oh my god, this game, I can't believe it, it's accessible.
Yeah, I'm not expecting one single game to be playable on this thing, to be honest. It's a cool concept. So this also opens up another interesting avenue, though, is I forget what it's called, but they are releasing some sort of dev suite thing. So theoretically people could also make games for this.
Right. That isn't necessarily accessible either.
But I mean, yeah, maybe the editor won't be accessible, but like maybe somebody could make accessible games. I don't know.
Sure. I mean, the hope is always there. Sure. Absolutely. Like,
I mean, look at DeVade making the freaking Mario Maker levels.
I know. Look at him too, posting tips on Twitter for other people to do that.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. He figures something out and he posts it on Twitter.
Yep.
Pretty cool. Wow.
But yeah, things. It's an interesting concept. I've heard mixed things from, whoa, this thing's kind of cool, to general like derision, like what is this thing, like this right. is kind of silly,
and what is this crank for? that's nuts, a crank.
But apparently some of the developers like
are kind of loving the idea, and
yeah.
It's interesting. We'll see. I'll be interested to see what gameplay and stuff's like.
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, are they kind of billing it as like the ultimate casual portable? Is that like the idea behind it? Because that's what it sounds like it's going to be.
I think so. I think that's why it's called the play date.
Right. Yeah, that's what it sounds like they're going for there. That's cool. And
they're not to be big. They're not meant to be big, sprawling, you know, experiences.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Just pick up and play, just little things.
Yeah, yeah.
I think one of the games is by one of the Katamari developers or something.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I seem to remember that being a thing.
Yeah, that's a good sign for it then, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's cool. That's a lot cooler than I thought it was, actually, because I was very worried that it was just another emulator console, and I was like, really? Because, I did less research than you, and so basically what I saw was an article that said, hey, pre-orders are now available, and it comes with, like, 20 games or something like that. I don't know. I was like, oh, no, it's another one of these.
Yeah, nah. I feel like the Evercade is still my favorite emulator.
Okay. Yeah, that thing is cool. That thing is pretty cool.
I think that thing's gonna serve me well on my upcoming bus trip.
Yeah. How has that been so far? Like, have you been enjoying that?
The Evercade, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good. I'm glad. Glad to hear.
Probably gonna pick up some more games here in the near future. Did
they release more of the cartridges for that? More collections.
I think they released a couple, but there's still a ton that I don't have, so I'm just looking to fill in the
expand the collection.
Yeah,
get all the games.
I probably will get all the games at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a huge priority at the moment, but
I get it though. Again, we talked about when we talked about the Evercade, you know, game preservation. It's just a way to have the classics. I totally get it.
Yep.
All righty then. I think that is all for game news. Unless there's anything else you can think of five stories later.
I don't think so.
Okay, well then that means, you know what that means. I think we know what that means. I think it's time to move on to
Accessibility News.
Welcome to All right. First up in accessibility news is another kind of a rehash, but I'm rehashing it because I've made a decision that I think is a good one. I've decided it's a good one. So leave me alone. All right. The veil, ladies and gentlemen, it's coming.
Finally.
It's coming on August 19th. It's coming.
Yay.
And it's coming to Steam and Xbox. Let's reiterate that. Like, I know we said it before, but Xbox, man.
Xbox.
So, the reason I'm rehashing this is, number one, I'm very excited about the veil. And I think a lot of blind people are excited about the veil. I mean, the demo... Like I said, it's the veil, you know, like I said before, the veil is undeniable. It's always been solid every single time they've shown a demo or given us something a little bit of a game to play and so on and so forth. But here's the thing, guys. I am going to say publicly right now that I have been on the Veil's beta team for a while.
Okay.
So, I have played The Veil. The whole game.
Nice.
Here's what I'm going to say. Because I can't talk too much about it. So, you know, obviously it's, you know, I want people to experience it for themselves. But here's what I will say. I'm hoping that you take meaning from this. Because this means something if you're me. Especially right now with limited time and so on and so forth. Like, I only have so much time to do things because I have so much work to do these days. And that's a great thing, but I only have so much time. So take meaning from this, if you will. I have played the Veil 3 times.
Nice.
You see what I'm getting at?
All right.
You see what I'm getting at, Sirlock?
I do. Hmm.
Everyone should be very excited for the
Veil. Nice.
That's. I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to leave it there. But you should be very excited for the Veil. I can't wait to play it. I'm gonna stream it. And the nice thing about having played the beta is I was able to kind of make plans for this. I'm not going to say what they are yet because it's very specific to a thing. But since I played it, I know how I'm going to stream it. It's going to be kind of a special situation when I stream the Veil, and I'll clarify that when it's actually happening. So there you go, folks.
All right.
I am proud to be a hype man, you know, and say, be excited. It's about to happen. It's just, let's see. It's just
2 weeks
about from today. 2 weeks away. Yeah. It's today, isn't it? 2 weeks from today.
It's today. It's also the day I leave.
Yeah. So. Today you leave. I'm so sorry about this, man. Man, I wonder what I should, like, what should I do that day? Like, I don't know. Do I do a solo podcast or do I just do a stream instead? I don't know. I'll probably do a podcast. and stream it. Actually, I won't be able to stream it until the 21st, I think. Yeah, unfortunately. But
you're gonna be able to stream that Friday?
Nope. Because I have a thing on that Friday that's going to be in the middle of my stream schedule.
Yay!
And it's a thing, which, you know, I can't talk about, as you know, as per usual.
Yep.
So I can't stream on the 20th, so I will have to wait the 21st. So I definitely will not be the first one to stream it, unfortunately. But I hope people still show up because I have a plan that I think people will like for that stream. So. Anyway,
cool.
I want to talk a little bit about the Great Ace Attorney Chronicles.
So good.
First of all, it is so good. It really is that good.
I'm on case two. Case one
is so long. You're so far ahead of me.
Not, well, I mean, yeah, but not well, yeah. Really. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think you're going to finish case one on your stream. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I believe that. Based on what Chaosburger said, I totally believe it. He was like, oh no, case one is a 3-part monster piece. Like,
it's insane. What? It's long. And it even does the whole like thing that some of the other later cases do in Phoenix, right? Where you get some fake outs.
Oh, really? I have fake outs coming.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
It's going to end and then, oh, never mind.
I wonder if I'm going to get to at least one of those situations.
You will.
Oh, that's so cool. I like those. I like when that happens.
It's fun.
I like when they throw a wrench in the works like that. Yeah, I like it. So since you're ahead, I will ask this. Have you gotten to any moments of voice acting beyond that opening cutscene? Because I'm just kind of wondering about those. Where are they?
From what I can understand and what I gather, it's pretty much just the chapter introductions.
Really?
Yeah.
The trailer made it seem like it was so much more than that.
It did.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe once you beat the game, you unlock the fully voice act. No, I'm just kidding.
No, God, it's like the Quiet Man. Where it's once like, you yeah, beat I know, it, that's, you,
oh,
you
that's unlock, so terrible.
You unlock the voice.
You unlock the sound.
That was the dumbest thing.
That's an awful game.
The Quiet Man is like one of the worst games ever made.
Yep. It's so bad that it was made for the deaf community, and the deaf community hates it.
Yep.
They hate it.
Yeah.
They hate it with a fiery passion.
Yeah.
So there you go. Anyway, the reason I want to talk about Phoenix Wright is because I have now started to play it, and as has, you know, literally everyone else. And first of all, it's great. But second of all, I wanted to just go over how awesome the accessibility feature called Story Mode is. Like,
yep.
I think
it's what we were hoping it was. It's
a little better, actually.
Yeah,
it's a little better than I thought it was. Here's why. When I figured, based on the demo that was at that press conference, the Capcom thing at E3, based on their demo video, I was fully prepared to when I needed story. Like I knew based on the demo that it should be something you could turn on and turn off at will, which I was right about that. That was very quickly confirmed. But even then, I was fully prepared to have to, when I wanted to turn it on and off, to have to press start, go into the options menu, go to it, turn it on, or turn it off.
Yeah.
I was fully prepared to do that.
Yeah.
That's not even, you don't have to do that.
Nope.
What you do, and this is for all the blind players out there that want to play this game, because you can play this game, just to be completely clear, you can play it. What you do is do this right away when the game starts. Go into your options menu and activate story mode right away. This does not turn story mode on. It doesn't make story mode active. What it does is it changes a toggle. By default, the toggle is autoplay mode, which only scrolls the text for you. It's kind of a weird name.
Yeah, I feel like they should have called it auto scroll and not autoplay.
But... yeah, auto scroll would have been a better name. They really should have called it that. But it's called autoplay. But this turning on story mode in the options menu changes the toggle from autoplay to story mode. So when you hit a part of the game that's not accessible to you, all you have to do is press one button on PlayStation controllers. It is the touchpad. On Xbox controllers, it is the view button like the select button. This is what I still call the select button. I don't care.
And on keyboard, it's F. It is the F.
Oh, good. I actually didn't know that. Good call out.
Yep.
It is F. Press F to turn on story mode. So yeah, you press. So basically,
F for fun.
F for fun. So you hit a part of the game that's not accessible. You turn on story mode. You wait a second. The game will just play that part by itself. And actually, it doesn't cheat it either. Like, the cursor moves, clicks on stuff. Like, everything that needs to do, it does it.
Yep.
It doesn't just teleport you. It doesn't cheat or anything. So you play that part, and when you hit dialogue again, you turn it off. And then you're playing again.
And you can toggle it mid dialogue too, which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't even care. Like, it doesn't, it's so easy. It's like, it's implemented perfectly.
Yeah,
I was ready to accept slightly less than this, but it's implemented 100% perfectly.
Yep.
Now, it should be noted, and I might have said this last week, but I'm going to say it again just because we might draw some new Phoenix Wright or Ace Attorney players because of this. It should be noted that, unfortunately, because, believe it or not, the feature isn't technically designed for accessibility only. Like, it is designed for accessibility, kind of, but it's the idea is like just to have an easier time of it. Like, if you want to just enjoy a story, you just
turn
it on.
It's just like if you want to read,
basically. Yeah, it's if you want to read. But because of that, they made the decision that story mode, if it is on during things that would give you accolades or rewards of any kind, you will not get them. It will affect trophies, it'll affect any like stuff like that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So,
oh well.
It is what it is. Like, I'm not trying to platinum the game or anything. I'm not in it for trophies. I'm in it to play the game with my chat and enjoy it with them.
Yep.
So I'm okay with that, but I just want to make sure everyone knows out there that might play it. If you're missing that Steam achievement or that trophy and you're like, but I should have gotten that, well, that's probably why. It probably was affected by that. So there you go. Now you know. Yep. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I was looking at how many trophies are in that game. There's like 47.
Oh, wow.
I was surprised by that. Like, I don't think there were that many trophies in the original Phoenix Wright trilogy.
No, I don't think there were.
I think like 25. I don't know.
And a lot of people, like Chaos has said this, and the general consensus, too, is that like this is the best Ace Attorney game that's like ever.
Man, and we're only in the first one. There's still a second game after this.
Yep.
5 more cases. Yep. This playthrough is going to be long.
And they're all long, and they're all, according to Chaos, pretty like interconnected, actually, this time around.
Oh, cool. Cool. I like it. I like it a lot.
Yep.
I'm ready for it. And speaking of being ready for it, Sturlock, you know what else I'm ready for?
Hmm.
Well, Sturlock, I am ready. Because tomorrow...
Ah, yes.
Tomorrow is the big day.
Yep. Streamversary.
The Streamversary, the 3-year Streamversary, during which every year on my Streamversary I do a 12-hour stream. It's happening. It's happening tomorrow. Yeah. So if it's nighttime on Thursday right now and you're listening to this podcast, you know where you got to be tomorrow, right? You got to be on twitch.tv/SuperDynaman.
Sure.
And watching my stream. The current plan is a set of 3. The plan right now is start with Jackbox, bring some people in, have some party time. Move from there into kind of a chill Hades stream, because Hades is popular to watch. People enjoy watching Hades. My numbers confirm it. and then for the final 4 hours or so, maybe a little more. We might give it a little more, because I could do more than 4 hours of Ace Attorney. But for the final segment of the stream, it'll be a continuation of our Ace Attorney playthrough. I may give it more than 4 hours. I may do like 3 of Hades, and then you know the rest be Ace Attorney. I might do that. I might do that because I really do want to play more Ace Attorney. I really do.
Yeah. So good.
So I might do that. But anyway, that's the plan right now. I am kind of leaving it open to, if chat really wants to see something else, I will consider it. Because it is ultimately a stream for them, for you guys out there that want to watch it. And, you know, I'm pretty much open to do whatever you guys want me to do. But that's the plan, should it go unchanged, essentially. So we'll see what happens. But I hope that I hope people leave Ace Attorney alone, because I do want to play that. Like, if nothing else, I want to play Ace Attorney. There we go. So Streamversary, hype, things, awesomeness, and stuff.
Indeed.
It starts at 10 a.m. Eastern tomorrow and goes all the way to 10 p.m. tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh.
So be there, man, or else I'll be very sad. That's all.
Yep.
So the next thing I wrote in our outline, and the last thing I wrote in our outline, is other stuff, I hope. And the reason I wrote that is because I couldn't at the time think of anything else to put in accessibility news. And I was sad about it because there's so much in gaming news this week and I couldn't think of anything else to do. Luckily, Misty saved me. Of all people, Misty saved me here because of something that she happened to be trying, which is the currently open beta of Back 4 Blood, the Left 4 Dead spiritual successor.
Oh, yeah.
So...
That's right.
Here's a thing about Back 4 Blood that I didn't know. And I'm happy. I'm actually happy about this. I was wrong about something regarding Back 4 Blood. Here's what I was wrong about. They actually announced the Back 4 Blood accessibility list quite a while back, like I think like a couple of weeks ago. And when they put the list up there, one of the things that is listed was text-to-speech. But the way that it was placed in the list, it's right next to speech-to-text. So my assumption was that it was only for chat. And I really believe that. Like, yeah. I thought both those features were just chat-related, and that's the end of it. I was incorrect. Text-to-speech actually does mean, in Back 4 Blood, lots and lots of narration.
Nice.
I'm happy to report that the Back 4 Blood beta has not exactly full narration. We did find 2 areas that are not narrated. And no, there is no narration during gameplay either. Mm. But there are two menus outside of gameplay. One of them is a menu that... one of them is your character select screen, which is really weird that it's not narrated.
That's kind of silly.
Especially because another one that is narrated is the menu of cards, because the way Back 4 Blood works is you choose these things called corruption cards, and it chooses like modifiers for the run that you're going on. Mm-hmm. You also choose cards for your character to give them buffs and stuff to try to counteract the corruption cards. those read.
Huh.
Your characters don't read, but that's, the cards do.
That's a little weird.
Yeah. Hmm. There's also unlockables called supplies. It's a section of the game called supply lines. And for some reason, those don't read either. But it does have a lot of narration. I was pleased with it. Like, I wish there was more, but I was overall pleased with it. Because this is coming from expecting none. So I was pleased with that. And Misty said this too, it could just be because this is a beta.
Right.
And the rest of that narration might be ironed out by the time of the launch of the game, which I think is the end of this month. So there might be more narration by then, but even so, I don't expect there'll ever be narration during gameplay because there was zero.
Yeah.
Also, it doesn't read. Narration comes back at the end of your run or at the end of the level, but it doesn't read any of your stats or anything. It just says press F to skip, like the little stat screen that comes up. So it's like, okay, what am I skipping? I don't know. Misty was telling me, of course, what it was, but like, she was like, no, it doesn't read this either. No. She actually left it on. So we did this on purpose. She was off about it. And she's like, let's try it out. She left it on during gameplay. She wanted to see if there was narration during gameplay. She was interested, just as interested as I was.
Yeah.
And as soon as she started picking up items and nothing was spoken, we were like, well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is.
They do have different sound effects for different item types. Like, so you know when you're picking up money and you know when you're picking up ammo and things like that. But it should still be narrated, obviously, how much money you picked up or ammo for what weapon and, you know, that kind of thing. But
yeah,
there you go. That's where we are right now. Still, it was a nice positive surprise to see that the Back 4 Blood beta has quite a bit of narration, even though I just talked about a whole bunch of places where it's not there. There is still quite a bit there. So hopefully that is improved upon as we head closer to launch. It doesn't mean the game's playable, but it's still nice to see.
Yeah.
Because this is like an unknown quantity. This is Turtle Rock, you know. This is the same people that made Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not like they have a history of menu narration, yet here they are. They pumped out a pretty good example here. Overall, it's pretty good.
Nice.
So I'm happy to see it from a developer that isn't Ubisoft. You know, that's what I'm getting at here. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's not Ubisoft, and yet it's done very well. They actually use the same synthesizer as Ubisoft. I imagine they must be like really cheap or something. Like those synthesizers, because they have a male and a female version, but it's the exact same ones that Ubisoft uses for The Division, mm-hmm. and Valhalla and Immortals Fenyx Rising. So I guess those are just the synthesizers to go to if you want to add narration. Yeah, you know, it's cool. It's cool. I'm glad it's there. And that's all I have. Sturlock, tell me that I'm wrong and I missed something and there's something that I'm forgetting, because I actually feel like there is. Like, I feel like I'm missing some accessibility news, and I'm very sad about that. Is there
not anything? Really? I mean, not really. I'm trying to
get Hades in touch mods with... are great.
Oh, Hades. The Hades mods.
Hades mods keep improving.
They keep improving. I don't think it's out just yet, but hopefully it will be out by stream tomorrow.
Oh yeah, I hope so, yeah.
Hades mods get another update.
As if they needed one.
Yeah, but again, it's another change that's just like, yeah, actually.
Yes, it's another. I actually mean this. It's another positive change, but at the same time, it's one that I never would have thought to do. It's something that I just like. Yeah, that's great. But like, my brain would have been like, I mean, but I'm so used to the way it was. Like,
yeah.
But at the same time, it's such a good change. It's a good idea. I just never thought of it. I never thought of it as something that we needed.
So now we are going to get information about the God Gauge, which, you know, that's going to be a louder sound, because that sound is really quiet.
It is quiet. Yeah, it's super quiet.
Going to get a louder sound. I don't know what that sounds like yet. And also we're going to get some sort of indication on how full the God Gauge is.
Yeah, I'm wondering how that's going to be indicated. Maybe with pitch, I guess?
Probably pitch of some kind. Yeah, that would be my guess.
Yeah, because it doesn't read anything automatically, so I guess it's probably just either a different sound for
full. It's probably different sounds, yeah.
Yeah, different sound for full or pitch would be my guess. But that's still really cool. It's like I said, it's just one of those things. Like, I feel like, you know,
it's nice because now we can save up our God Gauge.
Yeah, and then and hit him with a big pow at the end there.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, man. I'm totally down with it. It's
yep.
It's so crazy though, because like the way the Hades mods have been updated for the past like 3 or 4 updates, I've been like, well, they're done now. Like, well, the game's fine. Well, it's fully accessible. And then they just keep doing these positive things. They're just awesome.
And apparently
just make it just better.
And apparently he's now saying, and this was another thing that I'm pretty sure at one point he said, or somebody said, that was another impossible thing.
Oh.
Because remember how he, at one point, he or somebody, I think it might have been him though, said that like doing the NPC thing in the house was impossible.
Yeah, they said that was impossible, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And well, and now it's not, and now
it's now it's in.
It's in.
It's a real thing.
But apparently one thing he's, I guess, working on or wanting to work on is better boon screens.
He can do that?
Apparently that's something he mentioned, so.
Are we talking better screens when you pull up the boons you have to see what you have?
I'm not sure. I think both.
Both?
Like both, so the, even boon, the, like the choices screen. And the...
oh, dude.
I'm not sure.
But... By the way, speaking of the boon screens, I actually found a helpful glitch in Hades.
Oh, really?
That is related to the accessibility mods. So check this out. No. I did this by accident. I 100% did not mean to do it. I had a choice for a boon from one of the gods. And for some, I think what happened is, I think I stepped away like to have dinner and I just left that choice on screen or something like that. Some crazy thing. I don't know exactly what it was. I can't remember exactly what it was. I stepped away. I came back and I forgot what screen I was on. So I brought up like the door menu or something with the mods, right? But I still had the boon screen up in the main game.
Oh.
But guess what happened?
Huh.
Once I realized what had happened, I closed the door menu and went back to the boon screen and realized that just that one time, the boons no longer wrapped.
You might want to let him know about that.
That's helpful, though.
You might want to let him know that, like, that's a thing.
Yeah.
So, like, he can, like, incorporate that.
Like, make that a reality or something.
Yeah.
Like, make that a feature, not a bug.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't wrap. I was like, wait a minute. I ended up wanting to re-roll.
God.
I had to go to the bottom to re-roll.
That's actually really cool.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm gonna try that now.
Yeah, I think it works every time. Just bring up one of the accessibility menus, close it during a boon choice, and then the boon shouldn't wrap anymore.
Oh, that's actually really cool.
But you have to do it every time though, every single boon choice you get.
Yeah. I mean, that's good for you, because you're always
I always do it. I know, I always do it. No, believe me, I know. I get mad when I do it and don't realize it. Yeah, but so there you go. Unintentional, helpful bug.
Huh, that's really neat, actually.
Yeah, I'll have to post in the forum and mention that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that
man.
That big, giant Hades sword that has like 1,100 messages in it now.
Because the Hades is amazing.
It is.
Speaking of Hades... It's coming out. It's coming out on consoles next week.
Next week.
Woo! And you best believe I'm playing it.
Heck yeah.
I also may have a slight problem, Sterlock. A slight problem. I told you I pre-ordered the PS5 version. I told you that already.
Did you get the Xbox version too?
I may have pre-installed from Game Pass.
Oh my god. You have a problem.
I may have... Want some Hades achievements as well as trophies.
Oh my god. We have problems.
Even Misty's like, you have a problem. I was like, look. And I was like,
excuse me.
I mean, what if I can platinum Hades on PS5? Who's to say I couldn't do it twice?
Oh my god.
But no, I think what ultimately will probably happen is, I've even said it before on the podcast. I'm much more a PlayStation guy.
Yeah.
I probably will play the Xbox version of Hades kind of casually, but not as seriously as PS5. Like, I'm probably not going to try to get every single achievement on Xbox. Probably not. I might get a couple, but I'm definitely going to try harder on PS5 because that's kind of my system. It's the one I like the most.
Yep.
So, but I still installed it, so I still have a problem. There you go.
Haze is so good.
It's that good. It's that good. I really want to know if it's going to use 3D audio. I can't wait. I can't wait to find out if it's going to use 3D audio. I heard rumors that it's going to use DualSense somehow. So I don't know. Like, I'm excited. I'm excited. So
we will see. Apparently,
we will. We will indeed. Oh, you better believe I'm going to stream the first time.
Yep.
At least if I don't stream every single time I play it on PS5, I'm going to stream the first time. So I'm gonna do that much at least. I'll probably do that on next Friday. Yeah. That's probably what I'll do. Alrighty then.
Also, can we just mention how amazing that first stream of Hellblade was?
Oh, yes, so good. Absolutely can. We absolutely can. That game is something else. That game is something else.
I had never watched more than like a minute, I think, before of gameplay.
Yeah.
So I was just, brand new to the experience.
Yeah.
And Jenna's descriptions.
Yeah. Jenna is just on point with that stuff. To think that I still can't get over the fact that she wrote a script for that game.
Yeah.
So she could describe it better.
That's crazy.
Amazing. And she nailed it like every time. And just that game itself is just amazing. It's a really good game.
Absolutely. And
the combat.
Oh, the combat is so good. The
combat is great. And believe me, as the one who was playing it, it is fun as heck.
Yeah.
It really is. When you get the block just right, when you get that satisfying parry,
yeah,
it's so good. And even the scream when she's doing the attack after the parry is like there's specific screams just for that, and it's just like, it's amazing.
Just the audio design in that game.
And to think that the main character is played by a non-actor.
You wouldn't know it.
You'd never know it. I think the best testimony of how good that stream was actually was on my Discord server yesterday from our good buddy Orynx,
mm-hmm.
who posted to my server just to say, Hellblade has me glued to my seat. He was watching the VOD.
Yep.
And it really was that good. I'm happy to say that it's already exported to YouTube. The first episode is already on YouTube. And we will be continuing and concluding that game on Saturday this week.
I love what she did, the clever thing she did with the last episode of Q's.
Yeah, that was so cool. She didn't tell me about that in advance, by the way. She didn't tell me. She was like, she actually played a different sound. She's like, can you hear this? I'm like, yeah. Say, okay, don't worry about it. It's going to be part of my narration. Just don't worry about it. Like, okay, sure. Yeah, so there you go. It's pretty great. And the thing is, I can't even explain to you how naturally it works.
Well, I would have the exact same reaction. Like, oh, I can do that. Cool.
Yeah, as the one who was playing the game, that's exactly what I did. I just absorbed it, recognized the sound for what it was, and started to move. I didn't say anything at first at all. I did eventually say something like, wait a minute, that was the last of 2Q, but I had already reacted to it by the time I said something about it.
Yeah.
That's how good those cues are, even in Last of Us, and that's how ingrained they are now,
because
played the heck out of that game. Still playing the heck out of that game. Still got that grounded run to do. So
I want to play Last of Us 2, but I'm going to wait.
I know what you're waiting for.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Indeed.
Good call.
It's going to be a while.
Yeah, that's cool. All righty then, folks. I think that's going to do it for accessibility news.
I believe so.
Which means it's time for another outro. And those are always sad affairs. So tune in. We'll do an outro and we'll get out of here for the week. Well, this has been episode 95.
95?
Well, 95. We'll break down all five cows. Level 95. And, you know, I just... It's the number 95. It's like, there's something... Like, what 95 feels like to me is like a corner. Mm-hmm. Like, really. Like, and I kind of said this in the beginning, but, like, we're coming to it. Like, we're coming around to it. We're almost at 100 episodes.
Yep.
Five more to go. Man. We're at 100 episodes, and then the format of this whole show is changing.
Yep, it sure is.
It's going live, yo. It's live. Going live. Live. Live episode 105. No. Be, of course, 101 will be the first live episode, but still.
Yep.
Going live, getting a new transcripts feature added on to the podcast. And Sterlock, do you think we should tell him? Do you think we should? Should we tell him, Sterlock? Should we tell him?
Mm. Yeah, I guess we should tell him.
All right, let's tell. I done did it, guys. I have commissioned my good friend, Dynamic Reactions, who is awesome and amazing, and also a musician, to make us a podcast original song. I have done it. I have done it. So our podcast, starting with episode 101, is going to have a brand new theme. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. Me and Sterlock have some homework to do. We got to do our homework, Sterlock.
Yeah, I still have no ideas, but
we got to come up with something though, because she wants a guideline.
Yep.
So we'll do it. We'll do our homework, and we'll have a song for you. And she's confident that she can get it to us in time too. So.
Sweet.
Cool. It's gonna be awesome. What we have worked out is gonna be really neat. It's gonna flow really well. Because I'm not just doing, like, we have it worked out so it's not going to just be one intro song. It's going to be an intro song that is the main theme, that is kind of like video game music and other things, like interludes between segments that are built around that theme. So
nice.
It's really going to be great. It's going to be better than it ever was. And I'm excited about it. Because the thing is, the way my audio setup works on streams, I have zero... I don't have to do any mixing at all. Like... Because of the way my audio setup works, I can just play this stuff dynamically whenever I want to
on
the podcast.
Yep.
It's nothing. Like
you'll even be able to do effects and stuff.
I could.
If you wanted to.
Yeah, I definitely could. Yeah. Yeah, I could turn gaming news into gaming. The only problem with that, though, I don't know if I should do that, because that wouldn't be fair to you. Because it wouldn't affect you at all. You'd be like, gaming news. I'm like, gaming news.
I'm just right here.
Yeah, that wouldn't be very fair. But anyway, I probably won't do that. Maybe I'll, like, if I have some big announcement that I'm specifically making, maybe I'll put that effect on myself for a second or something. I don't know. But we'll see. You know, we'll have fun with it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be live. It's going to be a discussion. It's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it ultimately, and I hope you guys are too. As I said before, tomorrow, big streamversary stream, totally should be there. It's going
to
be awesome.
Looking forward to it.
If you're there and you feel like you just need to buy me lunch or dinner, just go ahead. I still have the link. The only reason I bring that up is because historically people have actually done that on the anniversary stream. That said, if no one does it, it's fine. But yeah, it's surprise for some, because I'm the type of person to get surprised by everything. So even though it happened before, it surprises me every time that someone actually does it. So if you want to surprise me, that's how you do it. All right, that's going to do it for this week, guys. We will be back next week, probably with more information on Blizzard, if there is any more of that mess that happens over the next week. Hopefully some information about Sony. There are still rumors that are flying about something in early August. I mean, it is early August right now, but they're still persisting right now. So maybe, hopefully, I don't know.
Hopefully, that would be cool.
And some maybe more accessibility news. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But and I probably will talk about the stream versus stream, how it went next week too, because that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it. Thanks for listening, guys. We enjoy doing this for you. And we hope that you enjoy listening to it as well. I mean, the numbers say you do, so we're happy to hear that.
Woot.
Feel free to leave us feedback. Tell us what we did wrong, said wrong, and we'll probably correct it. Probably. No, we will. We will. We have a history of correcting our mistakes.
Yep.
So until next time, guys, see you then.